Okay. Kum lenin ablat gemurde with ayin omer aleph. We're learning about ribbis. We'll start from omer avon and omer shmuel. Omer avon and omer shmuel. Avon is the name of shmuel. Ma'ayis shel yisaimim. Money from an orphan mutil lahalvaisin b'ribbis. The apotrophus is permitted to lend it with ribbis. According to avon, even though you're not a ribbis, but because they're under bar mitzvah, they have no iser. And therefore, that the you're allowed to lend the money with iribis. Before you're already asking the men sorechim, but there's a din. You're not allowed to do an avera. You're not allowed to feed them treif. It's okay. They don't have an avera, but how can that patrufus do it on their behalf? So it's difficult to understand this avon. But anyway, Amar Rav Nachman Mishum, the Yasmininu Safinu Yisuda, because the Yisaimim were allowed to help them do an isid. Yasmid the Ochli the Lav did who? He said, what are you going to do? You're going to give Yisaimim the Ribbis Geld. Lazily Bosses of Kayu, they're going to follow those that just left them behind. In other words, they're going to end up dead because we know that all the curses for people who land Ribbis. What are you doing? Amalei, so he said to Ravon, I don't believe for a minute that Shmuel actually said that Yisaimim Yelad land Ribbis. So easy, you obviously you saw something and this is how you interpreted the action. Tell me, Eze Gufaduv the Hechava, tell me exactly what happened. Amalei, tell you what happened. Amalei said to him, Ahu Duda, there was this, this big pot. The Bnei Marukva, the children of Marukva, the Havi Bein Mar Shmuel. About the Mashmur, when Tokil the Yoivle, he weighed it and he gave it to rent it to other people. And Tokil the Shokle, when they took it back, he weighed it again. If any of the copper was missing from this big pot,
Rashi calls it a cauldron.
Yeah, a cauldron. Yeah, and plus they paid rent. And the Shokel Agros, he took the rent from them. The Shokel Picha, plus he took the depreciation of this item. That's what happened. He took both. How can you do both? You can't take the rent and take the depreciation. You're paying rent for the depreciation. If you're doing both, it's like Ibis. In other words, you're saying really it's a loan. That you're totally responsible if you lose any copper. Why are you responsible? Because it's a loan. And if it's a loan, why am I charging you rent? That's Mamash Ibis. Is that I? When it comes to Yisaimim, that's how I understood that for Yisaimim, it doesn't matter. Omalei. So he told him. Yeah. That's what he's saying. We have many times that when he says the name, like we ask him, Miklol Itmar? Remember how many times we have? Exactly. So you could say Omer Shmuel, even though it's Miklol Itmar. He saw a story, and this is how he interpreted the story. Mishum is only if you had no shaykhs to the guy at all. Here he had a shaykhs. Yeah. Amalek, he said, that's the story. You totally misinterpreted. Because I feel a bit deconning, even they had long beards. Namishar Lemevit. Even they had long beard, you'd be able to do this thing here, but depreciate. Yeah, or even some were older, they were allowed to do. Why? The mekabla alayu, when the people rented these things, they took upon themselves choyscha de nachsha, the depreciation of the copper, the kama de mikli nachsha, botza de meha. Because as you cook with this copper, this big pot you cook, is botza de meha, loses the value as well. Every time you lose value. In other words, even though before we said you're not allowed to do both, the vart is besides the copper that falls off, even the remaining copper gets ruined. There's two depreciations here. Piece of copper flake off, plus as the pot gets thinner and thinner and thinner, every time you cook, it more and more gets ruined because it's thinner walls. So the depreciation, what do you pay for the depreciation? You're losing copper, that's what you pay for the rent. That's what the rent is. But what about the pot itself that now it got thinner and it's getting ruined? That you haven't paid for. So that I can make a separate cheshbon with you. So therefore, it's not considered as if it's a loan and I'm getting ribbis on it. There's two different parts here. Amar Abba Bashel, Amar Rav Chizda. I'm going to say Amar Abba Bayeser Bachama, Amar Rav Sheshes. Moi shall Yisaimim, when it comes to Yisaimim, we already had before, some people say when it comes to Yisaimim, we're much more lenient, even though you're not allowed to lend money with interest, but using money of Yisaimim, mutil lahalvoisan, interest where it's osamateda, you're not allowed to do. But interest where it's only osamadarabana, like we learned before called iska, where you do a business geshef, 50% to 50%, that is only osa, that's only madarabana. So mutil, what about all the 50-50? We learned before, 50-50, you have to get a salary. If you don't get a salary, it's awesome. Even if I don't do 50-50, I give you the home money, And you take full responsibility, and I want 50% of the profit. That's not awesome, Matayda. Because Matayda, it's only awesome when you fix 10% per annum. Here, it fluctuates. The moment that it fluctuates, Matayda is no longer ribis. Even though I'm getting a benefit here, that's awesome, Rabbanon. So therefore, even if I would give 100% to that person, say, I'm giving you $100 for the business, Geshef, but you, if you lose it, you're totally responsible. And I want 50% of the profits. Matayda, there's no ribis here. So Yisayim are allowed to do that. You're allowed to take Yisayim money and do and invest with other people and tell the other people you are 100% liable for that money. Because when it comes to Issa ribas, Rabban, we're lenient, we're relaxed when it comes to Yisayim. Mutal al-Vois, and it's called Karev l'schad v'rochi l'hefsed. From 0 to 50 is called rochek lehefsid. Nobody can. I can even say 100% is your the borrower's responsibility.
You can talk about the deterioration of an asset.
Which one are you talking about? You're talking about previous case now. This Gemara.
Yeah.
That's what you're paying rent for. We had before. Remember two things. We said why money is not called renting? Because two things. First of all, you don't give back the same money. And second of all, it doesn't depreciate. So when you're paying rent, you're paying for the appreciation. For the use of it and the depreciation.
If you rent the house and you scratch the walls and whatever it is.
That's not depreciation. That's over and above depreciation. Just using it is already depreciated.
Yeah, but if it tells you, then you now got to also.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's repairs. That's maintenance. That's separate. Where there's a loss, where there's a physical loss to the lender and you're paying that, that's not ribis. You're not paying for the loan, you're paying for the damage.
And with rental, it's the etzem right to use it.
There's two parts. We said there's two parts.
Even if you didn't cause any depreciation.
Impossible.
I didn't use it. Lapoil, I rented it from you.
Every day
I ended up cooking with it.
Doesn't matter, but every day that you had it, there's appreciation a little bit because it's getting old, it's aging and all that. It's always something, but even though it's not tangible, always.
So the schus.
It doesn't matter whether you use it or not. That's what we're. That's what we made up. I'm giving you the right to use it, and there will be depreciation. You don't use it to your problem.
Paying for the right to
to depreciate my product. To depreciate my product.
If you don't use it, it depreciates naturally. It would depreciate in your possession.
100%. But
it's
now your possession. You're the renter.
But if you wouldn't have rented it, it would be mine.
The fact is that you had the right to use it. The fact that you had the right to use it and depreciate it doesn't matter whether you did or didn't, it's irrelevant.
See, if you have a work of art where physically it does depreciate, you have to be more careful, but if the value goes up,
true,
what do you do there?
One doesn't come, yeah, but as he said, that would have gone up regardless where it is. Yeah. Yeah. So you're allowed to lend out the money, cut of the schar, where they're definitely very close to the profit, but Rochel has very far from the laws, because with Marshall, you take full liability. Still a little bit of a loss, because whatever you have no money to pay me back. You are bankrupt. But it's a rochik lehefsid. Tana mami learn, kodav l'schav rochik lehefsid, if somebody makes these kind of deals where he gives money to the people, okay, you do a business. I want you to be totally liable for the money, and I get 50% of the profit, Russia. That's ribis. Midrabon. Kodav lehefsid v'rochik l'schav, if I say, I'll invest you, I'll give you $100, I trust you, and you're not liable at all. If anything goes wrong, I'll take responsibility, and we split 50-50. Then chassid, this guy is a chassid. Kader lezeh lezeh, if it's both exactly the same, or rochim zeh mezeh, whichever, if we are come to an arrangement, we're both equals, zui midas kaladam. That's how most people are. Let's say Yisayim die. What do we do with their money? How do we invest their money? What do we do with their money? What do we do with it? Says the Gemara. We organize a bezdin. We organize a bezdin, called an executor of the state, and every week he gives them spending money. And that's how you deal with the money from Yisayim. Eventually, they're going to lose all the money. They'll run dry. You have to invest it. How does that work? What do we do? We need to find a rich person. How do you know who really is a rich person? People walk around and masquerade as the rich people, and who knows what's going on in their bank account? Who knows what's really going on? How much money they owe to the banks? Novos. But Kenyan Gavra, we check out a person. And Nachman, even if you see they have rich things in the house, doesn't mean it's theirs. Maybe people give them as a bakadon to mine. They're beautiful paintings. Who said it's theirs? Maybe people give it to him to store in their house. How do we know? So Amal, this is what you do. But Kinnan, we check if they have things in the house that nobody usually gives somebody else to mine for them. And if it's an expensive item, we say, this must be a rich person. No. But Kinnan, Gavra, the East, they have a pricha, pieces of gold. Nobody gives pieces of gold to people. We'll take that gold from him. This is the bezel. We'll take the gold from the security. And we say to this person, we're going to give you the money from the Yisayim, but this is the arrangement we're going to give you. So it's two things. First of all, you got to check out the guy, make sure he's a successful business person, so then he knows what he's doing. Number one. And then number two, we say to him, this is how it's going to work. We're going to give you $100 from the Yisayim money. You're totally liable if you go under, but 50-50 profit. That's how we deal with them with the same money. So it's not enough to do that. We want to make sure the guy also is a successful person. Avodav Masim, if he has things in his house which are complete items, loy. For the towards the Yisayim. The Yisayim will make 50% of profit, and this guy takes full liability, responsibility. Avodav Masim, if it's a complete item, loy, he proves nothing. If you have a complete item in your house, maybe somebody gave it to the store, somebody gave it to mine, it doesn't prove that you're rich. So let's say the bezin will confiscate it. The balabas, the real owner, will come. Yoiv simanu, give simanu, shakli, he'll take it. They has a whole discussion. Just because simanu has to prove it's his. Maybe, you know, these are commodities that you sell all the time. Anyway, it's been the whole story. Amr Ravashi, Ravashi says, Tena, this makes sense. This is what, okay, we have an Eitzah here, how to assist the Yisayimim in a case where Yishtakar Gavra, Yisle Dava Pricha, who happens to have a piece of gold. Obi Loim Yishtakar Gavra, Yisle Dava Pricha, we don't find a person that has gold. Nech Lezuz the Yasme, it should be totally consumed. Elam Ravashi, Ravashi, Chazina, we look for a person like this. This is what we look for. You want to know who is a person that is a distinguished person in the community, a trustworthy person in the community? Chazina, we look for Gavra person, the Mashru Nechase. That is, his Nechasim are stable, number one. Nobody's running around complaining that, oh, this guy's a Ganev, this guy stole me, he owes me. No. Umehemen, he's a trustworthy person. People wouldn't mind going into business with him because, you know, he has good credibility, good integrity. Vishama Din Daraisa. And nothing wrong with going Din Taita. But if there's a Din Taita and he loses, he listens to the Din Taita. The fact going Din Taita doesn't make you a bad person. People ought to have difference of opinion. It's whether you are, if you listen, it's highest dinner or not a highest dinner.
There was
a matter of being a
Zeltan, right, for somebody to listen to the
Torah. Vice to say. It never happened that the Rabban had to threaten him, be summoned to the Torah or something else, and they threatened him with putting him in Chedim, the Rabban. The Yavinu lay nele bebeit dinner. And then what we do is, we take the money from the Yisayim, and we go in front of a Bezin. And what's the idea of going in front of Bezin? Because Bezin is Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. So Bezin will take the...
And declare his Nechosim.
Exactly. It'll take something from him, like his security. And Bezin has the right to say Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. So who cares if the guy is not really here, this guy here, whatever it is, doesn't matter, because Bezin can take away from anybody. And then they say, okay, let's start working with the same money. So this is how you want to know if somebody's trustworthy. There's nobody complaining about it, and no machlokes and nothing. Mishnah. Ein mekablin tzoin barzel mi Yisrael. Tzoin barzel means sheep, because sheep is the most common commodity they used to deal with, and it's metal. What means metal? That means that the receiver, you're not allowed to do an arrangement like we just spoke about, that I say to you, I'll invest $100 with you, or sheep, whatever it is. You are totally responsible for those sheep, so tzoin barzel, I can't lose.
It's locked in like steel.
It's locked in, and I get 50% of the profits. Because that's the ribbis, but you know, I'll do that. Yeah, now, we just learned until now. So Rashi said there's no real point in this Mishnah. It's only for the next part of the Mishnah. But other the Shayim say the reason is, like Tosfos says, because the wages. We learned before, the Chiddush here is that even if you give it, we learned before that, you know, 50-50 doesn't work unless you also pay the guy money for working for you. So I might have thought that if I give you 100% of the money and I say you are totally responsible and I'll get 50% of the profits, you know, I'll do that. But if I give you a wage, then the fact is you're working not for me, you're working for your wage, so maybe you're allowed to do that. Kamar Shalom, that you can. That's the Chiddush of this Mishnah here. Okay, now goes the famous Mishnah here. From a guy, you're allowed to have this arrangement. Because v'lovin mehen, you're allowed to borrow from a guy with ribbis. U'malvin oisun beribbis, you're allowed to lend to a guy with ribbis. The famous Machlech is the Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Ravid, you're allowed to. According to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah. A mitzvah to lend money to a guy and take ribbis from them. So the first, you try to understand. What's the book? Why should it be a mitzvah?
It's actually interesting because it is in a Muslim society
where they didn't take interest.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to take it. They weren't to pay and so on, and he still said it.
Yeah, none of that. Who would he lend to? Because Muslims not allowed even from a guy. Exactly. From a Yid or a Christian, not allowed to pay ribbis. So who was he talking to?
Maybe that was when he lived in Spain. Before he moved to
Spain, also was a Muslim. A lot of Muslims there.
In the south, when the Moors invaded.
But this in Egypt, because he read all these writings. His writings in Arabic.
No. The Yad Chazak we're talking about. The Yad Chazak. But he wrote later. Bishop Nai wrote much younger.
No, I didn't know you lived in Spain.
So interesting. Yeah.
It's just to lend, not to borrow.
Sorry?
The mitzvah is just a lend. It's Spain, not
to borrow. No, what's a mitzvah? I should pay ribbis. Why can't I pay mitzvah? I should lose money in that.
We'll see now.
We'll see you tomorrow soon. So the machlek is okay. And the Mepharshim explained, very interesting, I forgot who says it, I think the first Shalom Mishnai, so somebody says it, that, upon the Persian Mishnai, so it says that the reason is, it's as if family members. We make up, I'm going to lend you money, and I'm not going to charge you interest. But everybody else, fremd, I'll charge interest. So this is, we sort of have seen that. That's when we became a family, and we all made up with each other. We're not going to lend each other. This is a social law. This law of ribas and the Taita is to not, the Issa was not to lend the ribas. The purpose was to show that we are one family. And your own family, you don't charge interest. You shouldn't charge interest. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the mitzvah of ribas. And therefore, when it comes to goyim, it's a mitzvah to lend the ribas to show that Eden are different because we're family. That's what it's all about. Pretty nice pshat. Anyway, what is that? Okay, right.
So I can lend you money with interest, right?
Only if I'm a goy.
But I can't say $100, pay me $110.
We're talking to you or a goy? Who are you talking to?
You're saying that the rebus is with a fixed amount. I can't lend you $100 and say you're going to pay me $110 back. But I can say I'll lend you $100. On the day you pay me back, I'll see what I feel like, $15 or $1 or whatever.
No, that's still awesome. And you can't make such a condition. What kind of condition is that? Who would agree? What if you say you want $300?
I don't know how much to pay back.
But you said before.
Yes. Matoida only if it's a fixed amount. That's right. If it fluctuates.
You, on the day you come to pay me, maybe I want $7, maybe I want $2. So it's not fixed.
You fix it to something. The fluctuation is market value.
That's right.
To invest in.
That's right, and fluctuating according to market conditions. Not I'm going to decide how much you should give me 50% or 30% or 20%. That's not what it means. 50% of what? Of the profit. What's the profit? Okay. The same thing by Ger Toisha, if a goy lives in Israel, Machlek is showing you whether he keeps all Zayin Mitzvah in there, or just his, or not, just not Avodah Zarah. You're allowed to lend. Malva Yisroel Ma'isav Shalakum. We'll come back to this soon. Malva Yisroel Ma'isav Shalakum. Medasa Akum. Ayid is allowed to lend the money of a goy with the knowledge of the goy. No, Malva Yisroel Ma'isav. Lend the money of a goy to as long as the goy. No. For example,
so
Shimon owes money to a goy and he owes him with ribas and then Levi says, Shimon, you know, the money you already have from the bank. Why don't you give it to me and I'll continue paying? You can only do this. So it's a b'cheder, but Levi has to pay the Shimon. Shimon pay the bank. So Levi Shimon is receiving interest money. The only way you can do it is that Shimon has to go back to the goy medas akum, and the b'cheder whether the goy has to actually take the money from him and give it to Levi, or whether just the goy knows, and he says, "Look, I'm passing it on to Levi, and he'll continue paying." So he's bypassing Shimon.
Exactly.
I'm Levi medas Yisrael. But he cannot do it midas. We'll see the more later. Second mother, lememra, you were telling me the beshusa the mekabel kaima. You're telling me that in the case of Tzayim Barzel, it sounds like that the mekabel is totally responsible. But Aminu, let me ask you a question. Because you tell me that's ribas. So in other words, the bar is totally responsible. But Aminu, as a question, we learn how mekabel Tzayim Barzel mina nochrim. If somebody accepts, we talked about the din of Abchayda, if you accept Tzayim Barzel from the goy, the lord is, and I have to give him a share in the profits, any firstborn that are born, why is he part of Abchayda? Because the goy still has a chelik in it. But if you're telling me that Tzayim Barzel means that the person who receives it is totally responsible, it means who is it? Who is the owner right now? The yid. So why shouldn't we chayv b'cheder? I'm going to buy a little kasha. How the mekabel ale einzav zayla depends. If the goy, our Mishnah in b'cheder is talking about that the goy took upon himself that he if any accidents happen or if it goes devaluation, the goy says don't worry about it. So then the goy still has a chelik in it. And Alma is talking about that the person who gave it is not taking anything. How the mekabel ale einzav zayla. That's why in our Mishnah, the person who received it is totally responsible. But over here by the Pchay, the person who received it is not totally. It's the So the Gemara, Omle Rava, Eid the Kabbalah, Mora Ointu Zayla, Tzayim Barzel, Karisa, how can you call it Barzel? If we're talking about a case over here in the case of Pchay, where the original owner is saying, I'm still responsible for any depreciation, devaluations, or I'm responsible if an accident happens. So how can you call it Tzayim Barzel? Tzayim Barzel means it's iron, it's immutable, and nothing's going to happen. And yet, what do you mean? Nothing's going to happen. Noch mehr adetoni sefer. Why does the sefer make a contrast and says avol mekablin tzayim bazel mina akum? But you're allowed by when it comes to bribus, you're allowed to take tzayim bazel from a goy. Lif like bedidei, make a chilik by yidin gufa. Sometimes you can take, sometimes you can't take. A medra amudin de lekabel lenders v'zoyla. When do we say that you cannot take if the lender takes no responsibility whatsoever? The bar takes full responsibility, then it's also avol kabel mora einse v'zoyla. But if the lender takes some responsibility, he'll take responsibility for any accidents that occur or for any devaluation. The shabbat domin, then you're allowed to take it. Big chiddush. Elam maravas is rava. Edi v'edi. In both cases, we're talking about deloy kabel aleh mora einse v'zoyla. We're talking about is barzel, which is metal. That means that the lender has nothing to do with it anymore. The borrower is taking full responsibility. That is why you're not allowed to take it. But if he pays anything back to the guy, it's like it's just a loan. If he pays extra, it's a ribis, you can profit. So how come by pchoy we say the edi is a chayv? The gabapchel is high in the time. You know why the vlad is plumchel? You know why? Because we have a concept called yad nochri beemtza. Doesn't matter what partnership. If the goy has the slightest chelik in this animal, you're no longer chayv b'chel. Now, why does the goy have any chelik in this animal? Or the chayde, it's saying Basil gave it to the Eden. He takes full responsibility. So, what chelik does the goy have? So, kivon since the ilo yoiv zuzi. What happens if he doesn't give any money whatsoever? Let's say the guys they made up that you're gonna, you know, you can take the sheep and you're gonna give me $50 a year. What happened? You don't have the $50 a year to give me at the end of the year. What's your guy gonna do? He'll take the vladas. Because it's originally his animal. Also, nochli tof is lola behemah. He'll be tof as a behemah. He'll take the original animal itself. And if the behemah is not there anymore, he'll take the vladas. V'lemachla behemah. Exactly, he has a right. The fact that he has a right to it, tof is lola vladas. Vavliyad nochli beemtzah. This is called the fact that he has a right, not even a chelik, or just a right to take it in a case where you have no money to pay him. It's called the yad nochli beemtzah. V'chol yad nochli beemtzah potem and apchayis potem. Now the Gemara. Now
he's got a floating charge over the animals.
That's right. Now we might have a very interesting machlekes here regarding lending money to a ribbis to a goy, because we just told you before machlek that I'm the rival where's my hats and mitzvah or shoes. But that's only one opinion. The Gemara, the other opinion holds you're not allowed to rent. I'll see in a minute. It says in the pasuk, Shlomo Melech says, "Mar behoinoi b'nesher v'sarbi." Somebody who makes a fortune, amasses a fortune by lending with interest. L'choin and dalim yigbetena. The money is going to end up to somebody else who distributes money to the poor. No, you're going to lose everything. My l'choin dalim. Who are these people who are choin and dalim who distribute money to the poor? If anything, the Gemara says it, you would think some other guy, you know, who be big bal tzedakah. Says the Gemara, no. Omer Rav Geshav Malkel end up with the goyim. And why are the goyim called distributions of the poor? So Rashi says a fascinating thing here. You know why it's called a distribution of the poor? Rashi says here, Nochrim shem dalim min ha-mitzvahs. Since goyim have no mitzvahs, they're automatically spiritually poor. A yid, even if he's not shem eternal mitzvahs, is not spiritually poor. Yeah, see this. So dalim, sorry? Yeah, but shem dalim min ha-mitzvahs.
I was thinking Robin Hood. If you're talking Democrats, I mean robbing
Hood. Omer Nachman, Omer Lihuna. Now, there's two versions of what Rav Nachman said in the name of Huna. Version number one. Rav Nachman said in the name of Huna, Loi Nitzecho, El Da'afilu Ribas Da'evi Gechabim. When this Pasuk was said, Mar Bahoini B'nezhar Sarbis L'chayin Adalin Yigbetzenu, is talking about even a Yid who lends money to a Goyim. If your Panos is lending money, even to a Goy, you're going to lose all your money. Everything, because we don't want you. The Rabbanon don't want you to lend money to go with Ribas, even though Matei is allowed to. The Rabbanon don't want you to.
And the Rambam for that.
We'll get the second version. Oh. The famous Kasha from this Gemara on the Taz. The Taz holds that anything the Taz is Mefedish Matei, the Rabbanon have no right to be Machmer. The Torah says you're allowed to lend to a goy, Befeidish, you're allowed to lend to a goy interest. How can Chacham come along and make a takana? We don't want you to lend to a goy interest. We'll soon see why. How can they do that? So we'll soon see maybe a possible answer. The simple answer is okay, we'll get a second. Ace of question. We're talking about in Fajr Pasik La Nochri Sashik. To a goy, you should make it happen. Sashik means it's like third person. It should make it happen, it's like Hifel. It should make it happen that interest is being taken. But not to yid. La Nochri Sashik, my Sashik, love doesn't mean Sashik that you're allowed to take interest from him. You're allowed to take interest from a goy. So what do you tell me that you shouldn't? So the first thing Mar thinks about Taylor. Mar says, no, Sashik. That means you should not give him ribbis, but you're not allowed to give him ribbis. The Gemara like sagi the lav hachi. When the Torah says what the Torah wants, the only way that a Jew has to live is continuously give interest to a guy. Why would the Torah make a mitzvah that we should give it interest to a guy? You have to give interest like sagi lav hachi. There's no other way. Ochicha lafuke. No, the Gemara says no. Not as a mitzvah to give interest to a guy. Lafuke chicha the loy. You're allowed to give interest to a guy, but to another yid, you're not allowed to give interest. Not only you're not allowed to collect interest, you're not allowed to even give interest. So the Gemara, achicha behed yekasa be. Says the first pasuk, achicha lesashich. So what do you tell? What do you need to tell me a diuk that a guy you can pay interest not to a yid? When the pasuk says, hey, you're not allowed to pay yid interest. Laver olav baasei veloisase. When it says to a guy you can take interest as an asei, not a yid, and plus as a lav the achicha loisashich. Okay. So what are we saying about what? That we don't want you to, you're allowed to pay interest to a guy, but we don't want you to collect interest from a guy. We don't want you to collect interest from a guy. Midrabon. Says the Gemara, the Torah says you can, the Torah is talking about paying interest, not about collecting interest. The Torah says they pay interest, but the Torah, nobody says you collect interest, you're not a collector from a guy. Pelling Gemara, second sentence, our Mishnah says, hey, say, loving mehenu malvin oisem benivis. What are you telling me? Am I saying you're not allowed to lend to a guy? Because our Mishnah clearly says you're allowed to. Well, we're saying that you shouldn't lend to a guy between Rabbanon. Of course, you're allowed to. And Rabbanon qualified and said you're allowed to earn enough to make a living. And therefore, and that's the answer on the Taz. The Rabbanon are not allowed to come along and ask us something which your Torah is matter. But if the Rabbanon say we're going to ask us sometimes and we're going to matter, no, we're going to matter to lend with Ribis until this point. From here on, no more. So the Rabbein Tam, the famous Rabbein Tam says this, how come today we lend Ribis to a guy? So if you follow this Pshat of Nachman Rav Huna, he said the reason is a couple of reasons. He said, first of all, taxes. He said the cost of living today is so high with taxes from the governments that you never finish Kedei Chayav.
You can never pay off your
no matter how much you earn, you still need Kedei Chayav, which is an amazing thing because the Mishnah Berurah has a famous Mishnah Berurah here where he talks about tzedakah, that after you have enough to live, the rest, you know, you have to give mice and so on. He holds enough to live is just the bare minimum. And Taisa says here, Kedei Chayav means the maximum because taxes, expenses, he says, no matter how much you earn, it's still Kedei Chayav, number one. Number two, Taisa is a fascinating thing. The main time says, because the whole reason is, as Rashi says, we don't want you to hang around goyim and learn from the goyim and become very close, and you learn yimabimaseyim, you'll become like them. Says Rabbi Tam, because all about in those days they did all the business only, you know, they didn't have to do with goyim, and so on. But today he says all of our business, we live among goyim, we live in Golus, and all of our business are with goyim. So what's chilek ribis? So we do it, or we sell to them? What's the difference? So the Taz asks, so even in the olden days, so why did the Chacham only come along and ask the ribis? Because we don't want days with goyim. We should ask it. Don't do business with the goy. That's all.
If it's mitzvah kiruv adas.
So the Taz says like this. You're allowed to do business with a goy. This is the only business that you cannot do with a yid, only with a goy. So all other businesses you can do with a yid or with a goy, so there's no point in making a yisah, because generally people gravitated to yidin. You know, yidin would sell to yidin, and so they didn't have to make a law out of it to legislate. Yidib, if you want to sell, make money, yidib is the only way you can do it is through lending to a goy. So the Chum came along and they asked it. So this is the first heter. So even though Rabbanon is only Gdei Chayav, but today you're allowed to lend the Ribis to going no limits. However, we'll see in a minute. But this is the beautiful thing, why it pays to be a Talmud Chacham. Ravina Amar, Hocha B'Tamidei Chacham Maskin. Talmud Chacham allowed to lend money with interest. Why? Time, my God, Rabbanon Shem Yilam Maisa, you might learn from the Goyim, the Kiwan Talmud Chacham Ula Yilam Maisa. Talmud Chacham allowed to raise Goyim and do everything called over us, because they're good guys. We said you should, if one guy and one yid, we don't want you to. Remember, we said one guy and one yid, you don't only have two guys.
Yeah,
but they, because they might kill you, and we don't want you to live in the same house.
But, is that the other thing because they might kill you?
Yeah.
Or
but we said because they might kill you. Now, before we go back, the famous Rosh over here, he talks about a frayid, if you're allowed to lend. The Rosh holds, you're allowed to lend, it's an interesting Rosh, and everyone tries to understand it. You're allowed to lend interest to a mumer, to a yid who's a mumer mazid, an apostate, but you are not allowed to pay him ribis. You're allowed to take interest from him, but you're not allowed to pay, because paying, you're the one who's paying the interest, and you have an issus, so you're not allowed to, but you're allowed to take interest from them, which people find hard to understand, you know, monoshech. Why one way yeah and one way no? But that's halakha shalach. Let's finish.
Yeah, but it's all that when you're taking, you're diminishing his.
But Mahatoida, yeah, he's saying there's no issue.
Yeah, but of doing business with him.
Can you do a ribis or just a bak ribis?
So my Mahatoida. So my Mahatoida. Ikel mashal Allah de Rav Huna. So those are Rav Huna. I heard it turn up Yisiv. Others say no. Rav Huna holds mefedish that you're allowed to sell ribis and go and even the mitzvah. Because the Rambam holds the mitzvah is hard to understand. How does he learn this first gemara? The Rambam holds the second way. You're making him pay you interest.
If you're paying him interest, yeah, you're making him do the aveda.
That's exactly from the aveda. That's why you're not allowed to do that. But if but you're allowed to take from him interest because there's no aveda there. Now, why is no aveda there? You know, the Torah Kolor Chodesh connect links the two, giving and taking, and yet here we make an sever the ties.
He's in the apostate,
I guess yeah. In a way, it's like a penalty. Maybe it's like a penalty. Im kesef tal. It says like this. Im kesef tal is ami. If you lend money to my nation, that's a ani imach. The pasuk says im kesef tal me is ami. As a ani imach. What do you mean imach? this is how it goes. Ami v'nochri, if you have a choice of giving interest to a halva to a yid or to a goy, ami kaidim, first to a yid. Ani v'osher, a poor man, a rich man, even though it's a mitzvah to both, ani kaidim, a poor man first. Ani yechav, ani ircha, your own orban, like your family. Mipsor chal tesalim or other people in the city, ani yechav kaidim, ani my first. Ani yirchav ani yilached is your poor people, and the poor people in another city. Ani yirchav kaidmin doesn't mention it about Eretz Yisrael because the Yerushalmi is about Yisrael. So the people in your city come first. So what? Omamar, we've not finished yet. To be said, ami v'nochri ami kaidmin. You didn't come for goyim. Pshita, obviously you didn't come for goyim. Here you have a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to lend to goy. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Lihuna, Lanitzachad, Afil Nochi Beribis. The guy, listen up who he said. That even though the guy Ribis, and what's a Kiddush? Why would you think you should give him first? Because the Ram holds a mitzvah. So you have two mitzvahs now. You have a mitzvah to lend to a guy and take his Ribis, and you have a mitzvah to lend to a Yid. Umzist. So you would think they're equal, might as well chapara, you know, have benefit from this mitzvah here. Kama, oh, Yichab Chidim. And that's the Ramam's Raya. Otherwise, if you learn that Ivan, that there's no mitzvah to lend to a kid, why would you ever have a minute to? Because I can make money, therefore I should come before a mitzvah. My keshner comes before a mitzvah, doesn't make sense. So therefore, the Rambam learned that there's a mitzvah there.
So you can do both. That's right. That's why it's more.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Very interesting about it. Okay.